Just like backyard barbecues or a day at the pool, the Three Rivers Festival has always been a part of our summer fun. And the festival returns July 12th to the 20th. It kicks off with the annual Three Rivers Festival Parade. Browse art in the park with local artisans. Bring the family to Children's Fest. Stroll through Junk Food Alley. And don't forget about the festival concerts at the Hoosier Lottery stage with live music from nationally renowned acts. You can buy your concert tickets or check out a schedule of events at threeriversfestival.org. Don't miss the best summer experience in Fort Wayne, the Three Rivers Festival.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
Well met, fellow adventurers. We are back with Sir Croakington, and we are going back into Wackner's Mad. Time to explore level 37. Okay, as I explained in the middle of the end of the last episode, there's a circle in the middle. And there seems to be a circle on the edge, and I'm in the middle. And now I'm getting out, now into the main part. The walls on this level of the maze glisten with moisture. Oh no, it's moist! Well, I guess we'll just see what that means later. Now there's an alcove directly south of where we entered. And that's the way down, with the inverted pyramid formation of skulls. But can't do anything with that yet. Okay, I'm going around the middle of the middle circle. I'm on the south side. I'll just go round the circle first. There's a question mark on the north side. You're standing in a small chamber with arch exits set into the eastern and western walls. In the middle of the room, fitted over a long, rounded iron pole, is a large stone wheel. The massive wheel, turning slowly around a stationary pole, bears an engraved square on its smooth surface. Five etched symbols fill the engraved square. The symbols, composed of eyes, moons and skulls, change with every complete rotation the wheel makes. So I'm guessing, once I can stop this wheel from spinning, it'll tell me what to set the iron plate of dials to. The iron plate of dials with where I can adjust the symbols on the first and the third floor. Anyway, the items be used here. I'll just go for, let's see. Well, it looks like the ones I usually, twisted wooden rod maybe? No, maybe that was only for one thing. Maybe I had another use, I forgot. Alright, as usual, I'll try the Hammer of Icy Wrath, because that seems to fix everything. But for once, it doesn't. Okay. I don't think I can do anything with that yet. Okay. I'm going to make my way into the outer circle through the north arch on the east side. A stone portcullis seals off the passage to the east. You peer through the imposing gate and into the gloom beyond, before turning and heading back along the corridor. Although Sir Croakington is small enough, probably may well be small enough to squeeze through the portcullis, he's decided to go along with it. She's decided to go along with it, just in case that she misses something that she'll need later. Yes, she could squeeze through, but she's not going to. Because Sir Croakington is a toad and very small. Well, most of the time. And same for the south out entrance exit way. Okay. I'm in the southeast corner of the middle circle. There's a lever to pull. A thick stone lever protrudes from the wall here. Pull the lever. Nope, refuses to budge. Right, I've got round to the south side again. Pull the lever again. No, it refuses to budge. Alright. Nope. Can't go through the south or the western way. North of the western way. Before turning and heading off back through the corridor. Particular item maybe of use here. Maybe I'll just use the plate of dials directly. Okay. Iron plate of dials used. No. Alright. Massive wheel. Turning slowly around the stationary pole bears an engraved square on its smooth surface. Alright. Well, is there something I could do here? The earthenware bottle, perhaps? Ah! Yes, that was just entirely by coincidence, I thought. Maybe that'll do something. That's a thing I haven't done anything with recently, and I got it recently. But apparently, yes, that is the thing we use. 128 experience in general. Remember, if you get experience for something, you're on the right path. I don't know, has the GM ever led you astray with that? Maybe it would be a curious puzzle design. Of course, you'll need some sort of way to reset it. To reset it afterwards. You know, something to consider, anyway. We'll write one where the puzzle has a poem that clearly... You'll go to a room, it has a poem that clearly tells you what to do. But you still get XP and progress, even if you do things in the last wrong order. And then it reveals at the end that, oh, actually you did things the wrong way. And then you fight a really tough fight to reset it. Oh yeah, and after the first time you fight the tough fight, you don't get any XP for it. You know, to stop people from just being stuck in a loop, doing it wrong over and over again to get experience. Although you probably wouldn't give enough experience that you'd go through a loop just to get it. Probably only 32 experience or something. Yeah, I mean, that's enough that people go, oh, I'm on the right track, but not enough to go, ooh, I could farm this. Of course, some people might try, but I think people who farm for small amounts of experience as that, there's not really anything you can do for those people. They will optimize the fun out of everything at every opportunity. All right, okay. Anyway, here's what happens. You pour the thick blue liquid in the earthenware bottle, onto the stone wheel. A thick layer of ice and frost instantly spreads to cover the massive wheel. Oh yeah, that's similar. Similar to what it did with some spinning gears a bit back. With a loud groan, the spinning wheel grinds to a halt. You immediately note the symbols etched onto the square on the surface of the wheel have stopped changing. Alright. The massive wheel, covered by a thick layer of ice and frost, is no longer turning. Beneath the ice, you can make out the engraved square and the etched symbols inside its borders. The symbols are no longer changing. Examine the symbols. Okay. You carefully examine the symbols etched on the engraved square in the upper engraved square on the ice-covered wheel. The symbol engraved on the upper left corner of the square is a moon. The symbol engraved on the upper right corner of the square is a skull. The symbol engraved on the lower right corner is a skull. The symbol engraved on the lower left corner is a skull. So we've got moon, triple skull. And the symbol engraved in the middle of the square is an eye. Okay, time to adjust the dials. Moon, triple skull, eye. Iron plate of dials. Adjust the dials. So moon, triple skull, and level 1 in the middle is eye. Set the dials, go back. Suddenly, yes, that means I did it right. Another 128 experience to general. The ice-covered stone wheel shudders as each of the five etched symbols, in turn, emits a dazzling pulse of blue light. Seemingly from every direction, the sound of stone grating on stone fills the air. As the sound fades, you step back from the wheel. Okay, that's probably the way into the outer circle. Outer circle open. But something has creaked up on me while I wasn't paying any attention. The clatter of metal fills the passage as horrific sight looms into view out of the darkness ahead. A giant mechanical rat, its exposed fangs little more than rusted, jagged lengths of metal, scurries towards you at an unnerving speed. Now, can it make a tiny, less deadly version? You know, for other people to have. You know, for fun. With no hope of immediately evading the mechanicized rat, you draw yourself into a defensive stance and prepare for combat. Now, I have a feeling this rat doesn't want to be a chef. It probably just wants to kill me. And I'm... it can try, but I don't think it's going to succeed because it's going to be a 3+ to hit, like nearly all fights are if you do things in the right order. And you not fighting something that you're not ready for yet. The mechanical rat attacks with blinding speed. Woo, blinding speed. The savage bite of your enemy tears into your flesh for 7 damage. Keep going. It bit me again. Oh no, I'm going to get Septis. Or something like that. Oh, I'll just use magical restoration later. It is slain. 16 XP. The series of loud groans, coupled with the sharp, clattering sound, the giant mechanical rat collapses into a heap of twisted metal at your feet. The legs of the vicious, mechanicized rodent twitch for several seconds before becoming still. Okay, the way to the outer edge is now open. There are no question marks there, so nothing will happen. Alright, I'm in the outer circle. There's something in the northeast corner. The statue of a bearded man in flowing robes, his left hand clutching a long staff, and his white hand closed, standing in the corner of the passage here. Okay. Can I give him the iron banded copper wad, perhaps? No, particularly right, maybe if you see it, maybe the twisted wooden rod? No. A wear bowl? No. Two-faced amulet? No. Hammer of Icy Wrath? No. Maybe it's something I get later. Or maybe I have to open his hand. Alright, well, I'm going around the outer edge. I'm going along the east side, going south. The statue of a bearded man in flowing robes, his left hand clutching a long staff, and his white hand closed, standing in the corner of the passage here. Now, maybe once I've got the white hand open, I can give him something. Alright, going along the south side, still going clockwise. It's a little alcove to the north. The large statue of a Takaback, perched atop a block of stone, stands against the back wall of this wide alcove. You immediately take note of a small hole in the centre of the stone block. I'm banded copper wad. You attempt to insert the copper wad into the hole, but as your hand nears the stone block, it's suddenly and forcefully repelled. And since the Crocodile is small, she's set back a few feet. But she's okay. And back south. Okay, there's a question mark in the middle of the south side. The statue of the upper torso of a bearded man protrudes from the wall in this section of the passage. The sculpture's eyes carved to depict a fierce glare, are focused on a bowl clutched in his stone hands. Alright, I presume we have to put something in that bowl. Or maybe it'll feel like I'll take something out, but just something to make a note of. And it's the same, this is on the west side of that statue. And it's pretty much the same thing again. And no, I can't put the iron banded copper wad in the hole yet. There's a barrier. Head back south. Here's another giant mechanical rat. We've already fought one, so I'll just quick combat it. It is slain. 16 XP. Southwest corner. It's another statue of a long-bearded man in flowing robes. Okay, making my way north now. Giant mechanical rat. Quick combat. 16 XP. Okay, maybe if I keep fighting these, some sort of item will drop. There's a dwindling number of wandering foes left. Alright, back to us wandering around and hoping something turns up. Another giant mechanical rat. And that bringy was someone calling me. I'll probably leave it in, because I'm not good at editing. Suddenly, you're about to continue along the passage when you suddenly spot something lying next to the smashed remains of the mechanical rat. You stoop down to examine the small object and discover it's the tip of a stone finger. Realising the strange item may prove to be of use, you pick it up and tuck it safely in amongst your other belongings, a stone fingertip. This is the tip of a solid stone finger. The end of the fingertip is jagged, as if it was snapped off something, presumably a once longer stone finger. Alright, I'm going to use that, so it's on the recently used list. Another giant mechanical rat. Quick combat that. 16 XP. Okay, can I use the stone fingertip here in the northwest statue? Use it. Yes, I used it. 64 experience to general. As you hold out the stone fingertip, the statue suddenly springs to life, moving with startling swiftness. The statue shoots out its white hand, snatches the fingertip from you. You watch, wide eyes, as the living statue fits the stone fingertip onto the jagged end of its white index finger. Perfectly completing the digit, the statue turns to you and smiles. With its finger once again whole, the fat statue holds up its white hand, facing the palm towards you. You immediately take notice of an engraved tackerback upon the statue's palm. The statue, once again frozen in place, stares blankly into the distance along the passage. Now, I would use the silver feather, but let me just check. Did I? I put that somewhere a while back, so can't use that there. Stares blankly into the distance along the passage. Okay, maybe that'll do something later. Another giant mechanical rat. Quick combat for another 16 experience. Ooh, we have a suddenly. The sudden appearance of Narsenar. In the middle of the passage just ahead freezes you in your tracks. The young woman, her sword drawn and her eyes seemingly fixed on something behind you, opens her mouth as if to speak. Before she can utter a single syllable, however, she vanishes. You quickly spin around, only to be confronted by an empty cold. Well, of course it's empty. She's in her own version of Wagner's Mad. As far as I know, there's no way to cross between them. Although maybe if we go deep enough, we'll find a way. Who knows? Because the lowest levels of the Mad, they're not in the game yet. After waiting for several minutes, in case she should reappear, she does not. You once again set off on your way. What's going on there? Oh, well. Well, maybe we'll find out later. The statue of a bearded man in flowing robes, his left hand clutching a long staff, and its extended white hand closed, stands in the corner of the passage. I'm just going to wait until I get more stone fingertips. I presume there's one for each corner. Giant mechanical rat. 15 experience. Suddenly, you're about to continue along the passage when you suddenly spot something lying next to the smashed remains of the mechanical rat. You stoop down to examine the small object and discover it's the tip of a stone finger. Realising the strange item may prove to be of use, you pick it up and tuck it safely in amongst your other belongings. How many are left now? A small number of wandering foes remain. And now there's one less of them. And another 16 experience. I make that two less. And yet again, 16 experience. Just wandering around. Another giant mechanical rat. Another 16 experience. I need my stone fingertips to make my stone hands. And something will happen, presumably. Because everything in Wackner's Mad is there for a reason. I mean, admittedly, it's the same with all the other dungeons. But, I mean, in this dungeon, it's both a Watsonian and a Doylist explanation. Yeah, 16 XP. They are in harmony. The Watsonian and the Doylist explanations. Another giant mechanical rat. Another 16 XP. Suddenly, you're about to continue along the passage when you suddenly spot something lying next to the smashed remains of the mechanical rat. You stoop down to examine the small object and discover it's the tip of a stone finger. Realising the strange item may prove to be of use, you pick up and tuck it safely in amongst your other belongings, stone fingertip. Use it so it's on the quick use, the recently used list. Just saves time. Yeah, and walking around, looking for some giant mechanical rats to fight for another 16 XP. How many are left now? Very few are left. But how many very few isn't exactly quite a... We're not sure exactly how many it means, but it's definitely less than few. And less than dwindling. I suspect maybe it might not even be consistent how many the ranges you get for these various numbering things. Exploration status, very few still. Wandering around, looking for some giant mechanical rats. Unfortunately, I don't have a giant mechanical dog to fight them for me, so I've got to do it myself, and I just did. 16 XP. And another one. Another 16 XP. How many are left now? Still very few. It's been very few for a while. There's a lever. It refuses to punch. Oh yeah, we've already pulled the levers. They're what? They opened the path between the inner and the outer circle. Well, square. But it's probably mostly square because that's just how things have to go when your map is a grid. Giant mechanical rat, quick combat, 16 XP. Presumably, some of the angles in this dungeon are not exactly 90 degrees. I mean, perhaps giant mechanical rat, quick combat, 16 XP. Lone wandering foe prowls these passages, but probably not for long. Here, ratty, 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 ratty. Here, ratty, 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 ratty. I'll get some giant mechanical cheese for you. And here it is, the giant mechanical rat. Quick combat, 16 XP. Suddenly, you're about to continue on the passage when you suddenly spot something lying next to the smashed remains of the mechanical rat. You stoop down to examine the small object and discover it's the tip of a stone finger. Realising the strange item may prove to be of some use, you pick it up and tuck it safely in amongst your other belongings. That's the third stone fingertip, and there's four total ones already on the hand. Alright. Northeast statue, use the stone fingertip, 64 XP to general. As you hold out the stone fingertip, the statue suddenly springs to life. Moving with startling swiftness, the statue shoots out its white hand and snatches the fingertip from you. You watch wide eyes as the living statue fits the stone fingertip onto the jagged end of its white index finger, perfectly completing the digit. The statue turns to you and smiles. With its finger once again whole, the statue holds up its white hand, facing the palm towards you. You immediately notice an engraved tackerback on the statue's palm. The statue, once again frozen in place, stares blankly into distance along the passage. All right, next up is the southeast corner. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, there we are. Use the stone fingertip. We got suddenly. And it's the exact same thing again. All right, and now the southwest corner. And then we'll check out those little alcoves on the south side. Stone fingertip. 64 XP to general. The hand is complete. Shows the palm. And the engraved tacker back on the statue's palm. Statue, once again frozen in place, stares blankly into the distance along the passage. Okay, let's check out those alcoves. The large statue, that shows you with a tacker back, perched atop a block of stone, stands against the black back wall of this wide alcove. You immediately take note of the small hole in the centre of the stone block. You know what? I think Wacknar really like tackerbacks. Which makes sense, because they're cool. Tackerbacks are really cool. Okay, you know, just to help imagine things, I'm going to read the lore book entry for tackerbacks. These man-sized, all larger, silver predatory birds live on rocky ledges amidst the peak of the Fedowin range. They've been known to attack and even carry off travellers to their lairs, where they are promptly devoured. Although it's nothing personal. It's just that when you're big, you get hungry. And you are made of meat. Alright, now I can use the iron banded copper rod. Probably worked now. Yes, it did. 632 experience to general. The copper rod slides into the hole in the centre of the stone block. Immediately, the tackerback statue perched atop the block begins to shake. A low, grinding noise, seemingly coming from somewhere inside the statue, fills the alcove. After nearly a minute, the strange noise subsides, leaving you in the familiar, eerie silence of the maze. You carefully remove the iron-banded copper rod. Okay, let's try the other side. Alright, the eastern of the alcoves on the south side that are pointing north. Alright, yep, large statue of a tackerback perched atop a block of stone. Stands against the back wall of this wide alcove. You immediately take notice of the small hole in the centre of the stone block. And the iron banded copper rod. 32 experience to general. The copper rod slides into the hole at the centre of the block. Immediately, the tackerback statue perched atop the block begins to shake. A low, grinding noise, seemingly coming from somewhere inside the statue, fills the alcove. After nearly a minute, the strange noise subsides, leaving you in the familiar, eerie silence of the maze. You carefully remove the iron-banded copper rod. What did that do? I guess we'll see. Head back south. Okay, now we're looking at the torso statue. The statue of the upper torso of a bearded man protrudes from the wall in this section of the passage. The sculpture's eyes, carved to depict a fierce glare, are focused in the bowl clutched in its stone hands. Maybe this has done something on the previous floor, because there's a bowl there, and on the previous floor there's some place where I might be able to fill up. Step onto the engraved slab. 36. This might be me figuring out, or it might just be me remembering it from the previous times I've done it. Okay, just west of that, where we entered floor 36. You're standing in a large chamber just to the west of the corridor you've been following. A broad, shallow basin, surrounded by a raised rim, dominates the centre of this cavernous room. The basin is empty. I don't think there's anything else I can do here. Well, I mean, there's one question mark left in the middle. I can pull a lever. No, it refuses to budge. Because it's already been pulled. Yeah, I think I've done. There's nothing to do on this floor now. This is the one where you just change the colour in the northwest corner. So you can fight the giants. Anyhow, well, if you want to know what happened there, just go to the previous episode. Okay. Back to floor 37. Oh, my little footsteps have disappeared. Little footsteps on the map that tell you where you've gone. Okay, checking out these statues again. No, it's just the statue is holding up its white hand. Embraved upon the exposed palm is the outline of attacker back. Maybe I could do more at those attacker back statues. Alright, let's try it again. Iron banded copper rod. The copper rod slides into the hole at the centre of the stone block. After a few moments, when nothing appears to have happened, you carefully remove the iron banded copper rod. Well, that's got a particular item maybe of use here, so that suggests something happens. Twisted wooden rod? No. Hammer of icy wrath? No. Iron plate of dials? No, I've already used that. Two-face amulet? No. The jade key? No. That's all the items. Tucker back, tucker, tucky, 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 tucky back. Oh, wait. The earthenware jar? Maybe they can fill it up again? Who knows? Well, I haven't destroyed it, so it's presumably it will do something. Earthenware bottle, not jar. No, nothing there. Use the earthenware bottle. The statue of the upper torso of a bearded man protrudes from the wall in this section of the passage. Sculpture's eyes, carved to depict a fierce glare, focused on the bowl clutched in his stone hands. What is there to do? There must be some... Can I actually make my way down? Well, that's probably the obvious thing to do. Maybe I've unlocked the next floor? And if I do, then maybe I have to go back here for something. Nope, nothing happens. There is more to do here. Okay, I've pulled the lever in the southwest corner of the inner side. With minimal effort, you grasp the stone lever and pull it down as far as it will go. When you release your grip on the thick length of the stone, the lever slowly returns to its original position. Now let's try out the other side. Maybe that does something. Slowly returns to its original position. Suddenly, the sound of liquid flowing, bubbling, and gurgling suddenly fills the air. After only a few moments, the strange noise fades to silence. Okay, that's a new thing. A new thing. Is the statue changed? Bowl clutched in its stone hands? No, that's the same. Small hole? Okay, maybe the gurgling's on the previous floor? Don't imagine how I could hear it, but... Alright, let's go to the statues. No. These seem to be as before. Okay, I'm going up to the previous floor. Place your hand to the impression. No, that's the way down. That doesn't work yet. To floor 36. Now, let's go to that basin. That stuff may have filled it up again. You're standing in a large chamber just to the west of the corridor you've been following. A broad, shallow basin, surrounded by a raised rim, dominates the scent of this cavernous womb. The basin is filled to its rim with this thick, shimmering silver liquid. Well, I'll just put it in a bottle that I have handy. I'm guessing the mad won't let you just use any container you happen to have handy. Like, I don't know, maybe the box you put your sandwiches in. Because of course you have sandwiches. You're not going to go into Wackner's Mad without sandwiches. Earthenware bottle. You reach down and scoop some of the basin's silver liquid into your earthenware bottle. Let's have a closer look at this earthenware bottle. It's filled with a thick, shimmering silver liquid. Alright, we can probably do something with that. Probably put it in that bowl. On the south side. Grave slab. 37. Making my way to the bowl next to the torso statue. A statue of the upper torso of a bearded man protrudes from the wall in this section of the passage. The sculpture's eyes, carved to depict a fierce glare, are focused on the bowl clutched in his stone hand. Use the earthenware bottle. Yes! That worked. 256 experience to general. You draw out your earthenware bottle and empty its thick, silvery contents into the bowl. The shimmering bit liquid now fills the bowl to its rim. But what does that do? Well, I guess I'll just have a closer look and peer into the bowl. 64 experience to general. As you peer into the bowl, the thick, silvery liquid that fills it shimmers brightly. The small black outline of a skull suddenly appears on the surface of the liquid at the centre. The bowl, a split second later, the outline vanishes. Let's look again. No, it's still a skull. Okay, I'm going to set the dial to all skulls. Because I just assume that. Alright, iron plate of dials. Just the dials. Skully, it's skull time. Skull time, it's time for skulls. Peer into the skull. Nope. Okay, what has setting it all to skulls done? Not done anything with these statues. Stupid phone. Doing the things you were told to do. Summon symbols on the wheel. Yep, those are the same. Because we've already done that bit. Where? I mean, I've got this. Okay, maybe now I can go to the next level. Yes, I can. You place your hands into the hand-shaped impression just below the engraved skulls. Your hand begins to tremble inside the impression, and for a fleeting moment the entire slab shudders. You quickly withdraw your hand and step back from the slab. 384 experience to general. A bright flash of green light erupts from the centre of the stone slab, momentarily obscuring the gruesome engraving that adorns its rugged surface. You immediately realise the way down to the next level of Wackner's perilous labyrinth as it's just been unlocked. Alright, we're only just past half an hour. Let's go to the next floor. 38. You stagger forward, struggling to maintain your balance as you suddenly realise your surroundings have changed. Pausing to get your bearings, you realise you are now standing in a dark stone corridor on level 38 of the perilous maze known as Wackner's Mad. Right, now on a new floor of level 38. I'm in the southwest corner of something. Of presumably a big circle, and it looks like it has a smaller circle in it. Alright, I'm going to go north first, just on a whim. Suddenly, a strange feeling suddenly comes over you, as if your energy is being rapidly drained away, picking a number. Bonus of 50, 20 from aura, 20 from mind, 10 from spirit. Got to get 75 or more, or be drained worse. Pick now. 126 success. You're able to stave off the worst effects of the strange draining magic that has assailed you. 1 point of level reserve has been drained away. Okay, keep going north. Drainage check again. Passed again. Just 2 level reserve was drained away.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The silhouette of an Ukrox suddenly appears at the edge of your light just up ahead. A faint silver aura surrounds this sinister wood and iron being. The Ukrox, its movement swift and silent, bears down on you with unnerving speed as it launches a fierce and relentless attack. It's an elite Ukrox. It's going to fight like all the other Ukrox. It might just have a bit more health than usual. Actually, no, let's fight it manually to see what difference is. I have Umdrol's Oaken Wad equipped, because that's the thing for fighting Ukrox. Strikes to do with his iron-tipped wooden limbs. Yeah, it's fighting like all the other Ukrox. It just says it's elite. Not sure how it's elite. Bit more health, maybe. Maybe it's slightly more likely to go into scaled mode. It's kind of hard to have an elite mode when he's scaled, so how hard it is tough it is based on how tough you are. The elite Ukrox swipes through its iron-tipped wooden limbs. Not scaled yet, still not scaled. I've been stunned. The Oaken Wad stuns it, and it was slain. Didn't even get to adapt. Silly Ukrox. 15 XP. The Ukrox collapses into a heap of splintered wood and bent metal at your feet. And I take the opportunity after that to heal a bit. After quickly checking over your equipment, you once again set off along the passage, your every sense alert for the first sign of possible danger. Alright, now the northwest corner. Is there anything there? You spot a small hole in the base of one of the walls. At this bend in the corridor, small hole? Maybe the unbanded copper rod will fit in there. You insert the iron-banded copper rod into the hole at the base of the wall. A low rumble fills the entire length of the passage before swiftly fading into silence. Okay, it's done something, but not a permanent something, because I didn't get any XP. Here's an Ukrox archetype, just going to quick combat that. Or maybe I'll read the description for the next one. There's the drainage check, pick now. 138, just two Nether Reserve was drained away, as that was a success. Your trusted light source scatters the gloom as you explore this level northeast corner. You spot a small hole in the base of one of the walls in the bend of the corridor. Use the copper, iron-banded copper rod. You get the same thing again. Alright, let's check out the southeast corner now. Drainage check, success. With 83, three Nether Reserve was drained away. Your exploration comes to abrupt halt as you're suddenly confronted by one of the fearsome denizens of Wagner's Labyrinth. The silhouette of an Ukrox suddenly appears at the edge of your light, just up ahead. The silent being of wood and iron, its movement swift and fluid, bears down on you with unnerving speed as it launches a swift and relentless attack. Quick combat that. 17 XP and a bit of healing. Here's another Ukrox, just going to quick combat that. Another 17 XP. And a third Ukrox, quick combat that, 17 XP. I mean, it's a good job the Ukrox don't know how to swarm. Or, they probably do, but they've not been designed to swarm by Wagner, of course. Everything here is designed by Wagner. Or at least it was originally. Although so many things have drifted from that design. southeast corner, small hole in the base of the walls at the bend in the corridor. Iron banded copper rod, use that, same thing again. Southwest corner now, drainage check, failure. You're unable to stave off the worst effects of the strange draining magic that has assailed you. 12 points of your never reserve has been drained away. Keep going, keep going. There's another elite Otrok. Quick combat that. And in the south west corner is just the pyramid formation that goes up to previous floors. Alright. An engraved in the middle of the east of the western side, the engraved circle sits on the edge of the passageway. A pair of tackerback has been etched onto the floor in the centre of the circle. Step onto the engraved tackerback. As you step onto the engraved tackerback, your surroundings blur, and you're momentarily overcome by a profound sense of disorientation. Seconds later, your vision clears, and you realise you're no longer where you were. You've just been teleported. I'll probably be in the middle. Yes, I'm in the middle. An engraved circle sits on the edge of this section of the passage. A pair of tackerback have been etched onto the floor in the centre of the circle. That'll just teleport me back to the outer side. I'm in the inner circle, and I'm on the western side, and there's something in the northeast corner. Suddenly, a strange feeling suddenly comes over you. As if your energy has been rapidly drained away, that's because it is. Pick now. 75 success. I just passed it, but only just. One less and I'd be drained a lot worse. One more and it'd be pretty much the same. You're able to stave off the worst effects of the strange draining magic that's assailed you. 3 points if your never reserve has been drained away. Just going to quick combat. No, not quick combat, quick heal. Alright, what's in the northeast corner? Here's an elite Otrok, just going to quick combat that. 17 XP. Northeast corner. Inverted pyramid formation. Obviously, it doesn't do anything yet. Of skulls, that is. Inverted pyramid formation of skulls. Your exploration comes to an abrupt halt as you're suddenly confronted by one of the fearsome denizens of Wagner's Labyrinth. The lurching silhouette of an Otrok suddenly appears at the edge of your light, just up ahead. The silent being of wood and iron, its movements less fluid than the Otrok you've encountered outside the labyrinth, bears down on you with startling speed as it launches a swift and savage attack. It's an Otrok archetype. Let's just quick combat it. It is slain for 15 experience. I don't even think it had time to adapt. Any drain check? Passed. With 137, 3 never reserve drained away. Okay, drainage check. Passed, 140, 1 never reserve drained away. Here's an Otrok, quick combat that, 17 experience. Dwindling number of wandering foes remain. Doesn't seem to be anything really in this corner. Quick combat another Otrok. In this inner circle. I mean, there's the way down, but that isn't... That doesn't do anything yet. So there's the way down and the way out to the outer circle. Been teleported. Okay, I'm just going to make my way around the outer circle. There's another Otrok. Hopefully, if I keep smashing Otrok, something will turn up other than a pile of smashed Otrok. Although that's a perfectly decent thing as well. Because smashed Otrok are generally a better thing than non-smashed Otrok. Just as a rule. I mean, theoretically, I guess a non-smashed Otrok could do good things, but that's... No one's done that yet. Otrok archetype, quick combat that. 17 XP. Exploration status, lone wandering foe remains. Alright, well, I've made a bit of progress. Just going to wander around until I encounter it. And it's the elite Otrok. Quick combat that, 17 XP. Your every sense alert for the first sign of possible danger. Okay, can I go down? Oh, no. We have a suddenly. your reliable light source suddenly goes dark. Dun, dun, dun! Suddenly stranded in the deep gloom of the corridor, unable to see more than a foot in any direction, you press your back up against the nearest wall and draw yourself into a defensive stance. Although for many players of this game, that wouldn't actually make a difference because, you know, they're blind, so whether it's dark or not doesn't have that much effect. Defensive stance. Next page, please. A deep silence, punctuated only by the steady sound of your breath and the pounding of your heart, settles over the passage. And so you found me, issues a thin voice from somewhere to your left, though you're certain to soon regret your misfortune. You immediately spin in the direction of the voice, just as a pale silver light floods the corridor. Standing only a few yards from you, flanked by a 6 Otawuk, her hands gripping the haft of a stout oaken staff, is a dark-haired, middle-aged woman clad in a grey tunic. A crimson cloak is draped over her bony shoulders. You're immediately struck by the woman's gaunt beauty and her fierce dark eyes. Her slender, chiselled face draws to a sharp point on the end of her angled chin. Her thin lips pursed tightly hint at a simmering hostility which the rest of the emotionless demeanour refuses to reveal. I am Coratel. It's Coratel, the person who supposedly caused the attack on Ashley. Though I very much doubt that comes as any revelation to you. Temini should have known better than to send someone in here to find me. Then, he always was a fool. They're all fools! Your pulse races, standing before you, deep in the lonely darkness of Rachna's perilous labyrinth, is the renegade mage whose exile and subsequent flight led you into the fog. But why isn't she in her own? Why isn't she in her own labyrinth? Well, I guess it's because she's from the same world as me. The woman, only a few yards away, surrounded by a contingent of Kotawak, is, beyond any doubt, a mage whose deadly might knows few peers. And I know quite a lot of them, actually. As you attempt to determine her intentions and buy yourself some precious time to decide upon the next course of action, you tell the sorceress you did not enter the labyrinth seeking her. She frowns, but quickly erases the expression from her face. Rachna was, and remains, the key to all of this, she says, for you remain uncertain as to what she is referring. What he began, I will complete. What, so destroying the shadow path? Well, presumably that, or opening it up. They do not understand the danger that approaches us, for long and subtle has the advance thus far proven. But that is all about to change. I have identified the traitor, a veritable demon in our midst. A savage creature in human guise, and an unwitting prawn to an inexquitable beast. I will learn Rachna's secrets and finish what he began so long ago. It may already be too late, but I am no stranger to hope. So what is your intention? Is it to finally destroy the shadow path at the bottom of Rachna's mad? I mean, if that's your intention, I'll team up with you, but I will have to arrest you at the end of this, because it does, as far as everything looks like, you kind of raid a town with Otowak, and although admittedly we're not sure they're your Otowak, because I know Woundskin has Otowak, Glenorus has Otowak, and there are ancient Otowak that that could have just sneaked out of the labyrinth. I mean, everyone just assumes it was yours, because that's what we were told. But maybe things are a bit more complicated than all that. Coratel's eyes were narrow, and her face twists into an expression of hatred. "It does not matter who sent you for me," she says. "And it matters not that you claim to have come here on some other errand. I will not allow anyone to undo all I have done. Kill her!" In immediate obedience to her softly spoken command, the six Otowak at Corto's side move swiftly forward. Before you can even contemplate retreating, you are surrounded by the sorcerer's deadly minions. Just going to heal myself before that. Kill her now. Okay, well, look. Could we talk it out first? Yeah, I guess you've had so many people trying to kill you that you've really got out of the habit of asking questions first. The silver light filling the passage suddenly fades as your light again springs to life, casting its reassuring glow across the wood and the iron forms of your encircling foes. Coratel steps back and disappears into the gloom as the first of her Otowak guardians moves in and attacks. A faint orb of silver surrounds your foe. I don't know what that does. Quick combat, it is slain. 17 XP. The elite Otowak, a deadlier version of Coratel's original improvement of Wakna's creation. Wait. Wakna's creation? I guess it could be. There could be. Although I suspect he might have got them from somewhere else. Who knows? It's not like you can just check out on your library and get the full history of Otowak. No, because they're in the sort of history that gets a little bit lost. Usually not by accident. Crumbles into a heap of splintered wood and twisted iron at your feet. You step forward and bravely engage the next Otowak. A faint orb of silver surrounds your foe. Just going to quick combat that. 15 XP. Here's number 3. Quick combat. 17 XP. Number 4. Quick combat. 17 XP. Number 5. Quick combat. 17 XP. A bit of healing. Fortunately, I have a gap after each fight to heal. Your eyes scan the darkness for any sign of Coratel as you step forward and boldly engage the last of her six Otowak guardians. Oh, but she'll have more. Because there's always more Otowak. A faint aura of silver surrounds your foe. Just going to quick combat that. Slain, 17 XP. And the instant you step back from the shattered remains of the sixth Otowak, the cloaked sorceress appears at the edge of your light. Without a word, she raises her staff. The flat tip of her stout length of oak suddenly bursts into flame. A deafening roar echoes along the passage as two massive fireballs erupt from Coratel's staff and streaks towards you through the gloom. Well, fireballs do solve most problems. They do. If you're a wizard, fireballs solve everything. They just do. Very handy, fireballs. The first of the two fireballs, its ear-splitting wall rattling your teeth. Wait, but Sir Croakington doesn't have ears. So I guess it's ear hole splitting wall rattling your teeth. But wait, so Croaking doesn't have teeth either? Right? No, they don't. Oh, I'm going to have to look that up. Nope. Sir Crokington has no teeth and no ears. Which kind of makes this phrase very inaccurate in her case. So it's the ear hole splintering war, teeth, and the wobbling of the tongue, I guess. Hurtle straight at you. Alright, so I've got... I could dodge, or I could use shadow magic, or fortification, or elementalism. All at level 70 plus. Anyway, this means it's time for random.org. Random.org gave me a 3, so I'll just pick shadow magic. It succeeded. You summon the power of shadow magic. The masterful summoning of the magical discipline shadow magic has again served to defend you. You escape the deadly wrath of the massive fireball unscathed. I guess it just fell into a barrier of shadow and was put out before it could even get through. Something like that. The second of the two fireballs, its lack of ear splintering a wall, whackling your lack of teeth, hurtles straight at you. Once again, same check as before, random.org, tell me what to do. Number 2, which means it's time to use fortification. Succeeded. You summon your power of fortification. The masterful channeling of your power of fortification has again served to shield you from harm. I guess it just bounces off a barrier, hits a wall, and goes out. You've escaped the deadly wrath of the massive fireball unscathed. Viciously dismayed that you survived the attack, Coratel steps forward and raises her oaken staff. A particular item may be of use here. Now, this item was the item we got all the way back in the attack on Ashlyre. Now, I'm just going to look up which one it was. Yes, it was the Stoppered Vial. So, I don't have to use it. I can just press Please Continue. So, I'm just going to leave it to random.org to decide, do I use it or not? So, if I get roll a 1, I'll use it. If I roll a 2, I won't. Let's just see what happens. Alright, looks like I sort of trust Coratel. Or I could probably not trust her, but at least comprehend that maybe she can be swayed to my side. Or at least, not my side, but we can be persuaded to hate the same people for a bit. Which, honestly, is some of the best alliances of history have been based off that. It's just, we temporarily hate the same people. I mean, that was what World War II was all about. It's just, Stalin, Churchill, Roosevelt, they all disliked Hitler. And they didn't particularly like each other. Churchill and Roosevelt were more buddies, but Stalin and Roosevelt, things fell apart quickly. Well, not with Roosevelt, because he died first, but with the next American, they fell apart pretty quickly, and there's a whole Berlin airlift thing. Anyway, this isn't a history podcast, so you want to know about this. There are people far more experienced with telling you about that. So anyway, please continue. A broad arc of blue lightning erupts from the tip of Coratel's oaken staff. The deadly bolt of energy streaks towards you. Okay, so, elementalism, fortification, shadow magic, or just dodge? Wander.org will tell me what to do. Order 3, so it's shadow magic. You call upon your power of shadow magic. The hurried, effective channeling of your power of shadow magic again serves to defend you. You manage to avoid being struck by the sorceress's deadly blast of lightning, and I've lost 2/3. I've lost 2/3 of my Never Reserve with all these drainage points I've come across. Oh well. A second arc of blue lightning erupts from the tip of Coratel's oaken staff. The deadly bolt of energy streaks towards you. Random.org tells me to use elementalism. It succeeded. You call upon your power of elementalism. The clever channeling of your power of elementalism has served to protect you from harm. How did I channel it carefully? Maybe I just nullified the electricity? Maybe I had a giant earth elemental get in the way? Maybe I had a giant earth elemental with a lot of metal in it just conduct the electricity to the ground? Maybe I had a water elemental mean that the electricity just spreads all over the place? Maybe an air elemental just blew me out of the way? Who knows? Not me. I never lost control, even when face to face with the man who sold the world. A third arc of blue lightning erupts from the tip of Koroto's oaken staff. The deadly bolt of energy streaks towards you. Random.org. You know what? I think we've tried all of them. Let's try dodging this time. You dive forward in a desperate attempt to dodge the lightning blast, picking a number. Bonus of 39. 19 from agility, 10 from body, 10 from luck. Got to get 75 or more, or the outcome will be quite shocking. Pick now. 92, success. Your swift action and remarkable reflexes have spared you a deadly encounter with the lightning bolt. A broad arc of blue lightning erupts from Koroto's oaken staff. A deadly arc bolt of energy streaks towards you. Wendell.org, tell me what to do. Number 3. Shadow magic. And yeah, it's exactly the same as last time. Koroto steps back and the sorceress begins to raise her oaken staff. I could use the stopper vial again, but we decided the first time round that we weren't going to use it. So we're just going to stick with that. Okay, admittedly, if this keeps happening, I might consider using it, but no. Koroto suddenly lowers her staff and steps back. A low pulsing hum fills the air as two portals open to the white of the cloaked sorceress. Take her, she snarls, as she steps back into the gloom and disappears from sight. Before you can attempt to pursue the sorceress, a horde of Otoroks spills out of the two portals. You count 9 of the sinister wood and iron beings. With no hope of escape, you draw yourself into position to face the Otoroq one at a time and draw yourself into combat-ready stance as the fearsome legion swiftly surrounds you. The first of the Otoroq moves in swiftly and attacks, swiping out at you with its deadly, iron-tipped wooden limbs. Otoroq 1 of 9, just going to quick combat these. 25 XP. The Otoroq collapses into a heap of splintered wood and twisted iron at your feet. Before you can catch your breath, you're set upon by another Koroto's silent minions. Number 2, quick combat, 25 XP. You stoutly hold your position to prepare to engage the next Otoroq. Quick combat, 25 XP. 25 XP. Number 5, 25 XP. And take the time to heal. I'm starting to one lower Neville Reserve. Maybe I shouldn't have done 2 floors at once. Number 7. 8 and 9. That was the last of them. 22 XP. There's the last of the 9 Otoroq crumples to the floor of the passage. Your eyes are drawn to the eastern end of the passage, where a new and deadly effect is swiftly emerging from the gloom. What is it this time? 4 more Otoroq, identical to the 6 that flanked Koroto. I told ya, she always has more Otoroq. Move swiftly into the pool of light and attack. A faint aura of silver surrounds each of the wood and iron beings. Maneuvering yourself into position to fight them one at a time, you defiantly engage the 4. I'm just going to quick combat these. 17 XP. The Elite Otoroq, a deadlier version of Koroto's original improvement, Vrakna's creation, crumples into a heap of splintered wood and twisted iron at your feet. Not 100% sure what the in-combat difference between the Elite and the regular Otoroq is. I mean, presumably I have fought a lot of them manually, I'll be able to figure it out, but nah. The next Otwok is immediately upon you, striking at you with his iron tipped wooden limbs. Quick combat that. 17 XP. 2048 experience to general, and 256 experience to all skills and powers. And now I'm sure that this wasn't part of Wackner's plan. Because, of course, Coratel didn't even exist when he first made the labyrinth. With the corridor at last empty of enemies, you lean back against the wall and struggle to catch your breath. The shattered remains of Coratel's Otwok minions lie heaped all along the passage. For several minutes you wait, your eyes searching the darkness in both directions, when it becomes apparent that neither the sorceress nor any of her accursed Otwok are going to return. You prepare to once again set off on your way. Perhaps she's off to get more Otwok, because presumably she has a huge supply of them back at her fortress. But, it's difficult to bring... Wait a minute. How did she even get them in the labyrinth? I had to go through all this. I had to get this one-off super wing. And, gating, perhaps? Yeah, maybe she just gated them in. As you leave the scene of the brutal battle, you are playing your mind your encounter with the infamous spellcaster. Despite her hostility towards you, you can't help but feel that if you were able to convince the sorceress of your own intentions and relate to her the reasons for your continual descent into the mad, she would undoubtedly prove to be a powerful ally. You also realise only too well that Coratel as an ally is a much more favourable scenario than Coratel as a foe. After turning around to take another look at the debris-strewn passage, you cautiously move off into the gloom. Okay, now can I make my way to the next floor? Alright, I'm going to go to the place where I can teleport into the inner circle. And there we are, teleport to the inner circle. Here's the Otwok impression. Yep. The way down to the next level is unlocked. That is level 39. And we're already quite well past an hour. So we're definitely saving that to next time. So we're just going to have a peek at level 39. I'm in the southeast corner of a place. There's a little circle where I am. There's an alcove. There's a question mark opposite. There's another corner just one away from that, with another question mark. Looks like this is going to be a pretty large floor, but we shall see. Anyway, time to go back to the top. Because after that encounter with Coratel, I definitely need to have a rest and a nap and some ale and some mead. And a selection of artisanal cheeses, and listen to a bard for a bit. A nice bed. Probably get a back rub. Oh yeah, and a bath. Definitely need a bath, because Sir Croakington is, well, admittedly, I don't think Sir Croakington actually sweats, so that's not an issue. But she's more oozy than usual, and there's all sorts of dust between the warts. It's a mess. It's an absolute mess. Definitely needs a bath. Okay, anyway, we're in Ashlar. Next up, well, I'll be leaving Sir Croakington there while she goes to the Sage Lord Tavern and doesn't tell anyone about the most recent adventure, because this looks like the kind of thing where to know it is dangerous. So instead, she'll probably regale them with some of the more public adventures. Maybe the Caves of Westworld. Everyone knows about that. Maybe that time I fought those giants in Hawklore. Yeah, the nice public adventures. Can't really say anything about the whole Moaxa Proving Grounds 5 thing, because honestly that would just cause so much problems if people knew there was a mind controlling shadow dragon, because everyone would be like, "Nah, you only did this thing because you were controlled by the shadow dragon. No, you only did this thing because you were controlled by the shadow. No, you were controlled by the shadow. No, you were controlled by the shadow. No, you were controlled by the shadow dragon. No, you were controlled by the shadow dragon." And then fists start flying and nothing is resolved. Anyway, saving. And so next time, down to level 39. But until then, farewell, fellow adventurers.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.